KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's mostly cloudy and 30 degrees. We look for cloudy skies this morning, a chance of flurries. Partly cloudy this afternoon, a high of 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office says two men were arrested on drug and other charges Thursday following a narcotics investigation near the Waubonsie Avenue and 200th Avenue in Bartlett areas. The Fremont County Sheriff's K-9 unit conducted the investigation, during which 20-year-old Jacob Thorne of Sydney and 35-year-old Lionel Cawthon of Omaha, Nebraska were arrested. Both men face felony charges of using a minor in a drug trade, delivery of marijuana, and failure to affix a drug tax stamp. A juvenile, 17-year-old Jamie Garst of Rockport, Missouri, was released to her parents with pending charges. During the investigation, deputies seized about 17 pounds of processed marijuana with a street value of about $20,000. Thorne and Cawthon were being held in the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center on $20,000 bond. Fremont County deputies were assisted by deputies from the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Cass County Sheriff's Office, and officers with the Tabor Police Department. In local news, the Atlantic School Board held a work session Wednesday evening, during which a large number of people showed up to hear primarily about how the district intends to address issues in communications in light of an article on the Atlantic News Telegraph by board member Dr. Keith Swanson with regard to several issues he thought the school district had not adequately addressed. That letter was followed up by a response from Atlantic School District Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein, who characterized Dr. Swanson's assertions in the article as inaccurate. Amstein also said Swanson's concerns should have been addressed in an open board meeting. At Wednesday night's meeting, School Board President Josh McLaren said they would not talk about the specifics of the article in rebuttal. Instead, he said they should get back to the nuts and bolts of trying to build a team.
And there's been some concerns about requests for information. I think we need to hash out in that discussion what we think is best way to request that information, how we get that information to the various board members or to everybody as a whole. Then I think we should move on to, moving forward as to how we move forward as a board and get back to the business that we need to be addressing at this point in time.
As for how information is conveyed between board members to clear up any issues or confusion, School District Attorney Brett Nitschke provided the board with the legal guidelines and pointed out their own 200 series policies have the structure in place for proper communications.
That's a really good structure to follow in looking at communications, not only just in general, but amongst board members. And we're talking about the appropriate context or the right context to talk about things. I think as Josh has said, tonight's meeting, there's not going to be a focus necessarily on the what and back and forth on all the details and arguing points, but more kind of the how and looking as to how those types of communications can be more productive, can occur within the board setting so that the public is well aware of what's going on, and the board members certainly have opportunities during regular board meetings to receive input from the public also.
McLaren pointed out the board had approved the 200 series policies in December, and they're available online on the district's website for all to see. Dr. Swanson then spoke with regard to his article in the paper. Swanson said he wrote his letter to the paper out of frustration.
First thing I would say is I do not feel that I have been accepted on this board, number one. Number two, we have had essentially no time to discuss anything on these board meetings. They have been filled with, I've been on many boards, I call them fluff, with things that meant essentially nothing. And spend our time without being productive.
He also said his questions with regard to some aspects of school finances weren't answered to his satisfaction by business manager Mary Beth Fast. Board member Christy Pellett said she was disappointed in Dr. Swanson's article in the paper because it did not represent her viewpoint and should not be taken as though his opinion was also the consensus of the board.
Because it was not coming from an action that was taken in a board meeting. So I think we have to agree upon and respect how that communication is going to be relayed.
Board Member Allie Bruckner also said a lot of issues Dr. Swanson brought up should be addressed at a future open meeting, and there hasn't been closure on some of his concerns. Pellet said past discussions on some issues haven't met with her satisfaction either, and that needs to be changed as well. But with regard to Dr. Swanson's concerns over transportation issues, as addressed in the letter, she said those had been a rich discussion at a recent board meeting.
And I don't feel like we've had rich discussion on this board, even when we've had discussion items or when we've had action items. People are, you know, making motions, they're, you know, wanting to proceed to the vote right away, and there isn't discussion taking place.
The bulk of the communications portion of the meeting was spent trying to hash out how items of concern by individual board members, such as Dr. Swanson, can be addressed, and the answer was by placing them on the agenda, with the board president having the final say over which items should be on a particular agenda. Board Member Allie Bruckner summed up what she would like to have happen at future board meetings. She says it's important that all board members have the same accurate information when a question is asked and the answer is provided, especially when the board member relays that information to the public.
I would ask for open and honest communication. I think that's something I've struggled with. If I get communication from Mary Beth or Dr. Amstein as a community representative, community members will come and ask us decisions that were made or topics that were discussed. And if it's been given to me, I assume it's correct. And if I speak on that, I don't want to be the one speaking incorrectly. That's happened to me in my short time. So I don't want some communication given to me that's not validated.
The board will continue to work on its communications issues and team building with help as necessary from the Iowa Association of School Boards. In the funeral announcements, Mary Beth Marasek, age 90, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Beth Marasek will be held Friday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Larry Kay, age 76, of Walnut, died Monday. Funeral services for Larry Kay will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Ethel Fritz, age 92, of Avoca and formerly of rural Oakland, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Ethel Fritz will be tomorrow at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Jacob Hartvigson, age 21, of Audubon, died Saturday in Iowa City. Funeral services for Jacob Hartvigson will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbolton. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Judy Stevenson, age 77, of Atlantic, died Friday in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Judy Stevenson will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Atlantic High School Auditorium. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. James Dago Marcellino, age 58, of Kimbolton, died Tuesday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for James Marcellino will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the House Barn Conference Center in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbolton has arrangements. Ronnie Lee Rapp, age 76, of Oakland, died Saturday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Ronnie Rapp will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And Lissa Marsh, age 68, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Lissa Marsh will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.